We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Good morning, Liberty Church. Great to be with you again this morning. This weekend, we just want to honor those who paid with their lives for this nation. And we want to thank them for the freedom that we're able to live in today. And also, I just want to thank Jesus that we as people can walk in freedom for the price he paid. I just want to pray, and then we're going to get into today's what I feel I want to share with you today and to spend time together today. So, Father, I thank you that we get to be together. I thank you for those that have gone before us. I thank you that there's nothing new, but we're building upon. And I thank you, Jesus, in this conversation today, that we're just going to find some truth, find some wisdom, find some challenge, and be able to step into everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you who are a little bit religious about what people wear, I apologize. I do have a cap on this morning, but my hair is just getting out of control, and I am not doing the Corona cut. Leah won't cut my hair in any sort of shape. So this is it. This is the best we got. Otherwise, if I took it off, it'd be more offensive than what I'm wearing right now. But, you know, this week I was thinking about this. I'm not sure about you, but I'm hitting a little bit of Zoom fatigue, a little bit of FaceTime fatigue in that. But even in this time, there's so many conversations that that we're having. We seem to be almost talking more than we've ever talked before in some senses. And sometimes I've realized in some of these conversations, just as I've been having them and watching people, sometimes people are listening. Other times, honestly, they're just not listening. You may be doing that right now. You're like, I can hear you, Heath, your voice. It's a little bit droning, but I'm not sure I'm listening. I'd love you to listen today to this conversation. Some conversations are an absolute waste of time, I've realized. I've thought over this time, some things I will not do the same as I did before when we entered this season. Some things I will do using Zoom because it's just information, but other things of significance I'll spend time and face to face with. Some are significant conversations, and I've found that in the last couple of weeks, often the most significant are those connected to the people God has called to lead me. Often those are the ones that are really engaging and sometimes that I really pay close attention to. They're also the ones where I'm walking a journey with people. If I'm really in a depth of a journey with somebody, those conversations seem even more significant. There's even those that are more significant are the ones that I see the call of God on people's lives, or they see the call of God on me, and there's a call to, there's that deep calling to deep. The other conversations that I've found really significant are those people who truly desire for me, or I truly desire for them to walk in everything that they're called to. There's almost like this, I must chat with you, I must spend time with you. There's this pull, maybe it's this Holy Spirit pull. And I don't know, maybe you found that over the last couple of weeks, that there's a difference in the conversations. Some of the conversations I've also missed. Why have I missed them? Because I've taken some things for granted. Sometimes we've taken some of the conversations that we get to be in for granted. We miss the significance of them. Oftentimes I'm thinking about tomorrow while we're trying to talk about today. I'm failing to pay attention to so much. I'm distracted. Sometimes I'm hurt. Sometimes I'm full of pride. And actually often sometimes I'm already formulating my own thoughts and my own answers and responses to what people are saying while they're talking. You know, John Maxwell said this, that everybody is conversing, everybody is having conversations, but not many people are connecting. And I felt at the beginning of the season, and we as a church just felt, and as a leadership team, that it needs to be connection over content at this time. And connection means an engagement. And I just want to bring you to a place in Scripture. We've been traveling through the last books, of, chapters of John, and we're just about to enter some places now in Acts. And I want to bring you to this final conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. You know, as disciples, as Jesus, as followers of Jesus, as leaders, even as God himself, what I've found so often, it's not always about answering the question. Sometimes people just want the question answered. But we can't do that all the time. We can't answer the question. But what we can do, we can invite people to the right conversation. Our responsibility is not always to get the answer right, but it is actually to engage in a conversation where we can go on a journey that discovers that. And there is, I feel significantly, there is a conversation that God wants to have with you today and he wants to have with me. There's a conversation he wants you to have with those that he's placed around you that are significant to sow into your life. And I would suggest wherever you planted, those are people of leadership that have been put there by God. That's what we believe. We have to trust God in that place. Put there to help us grow and to flourish. And often I find this is such a real thing that's come out. In those places of the right conversation, there's clarity, there's understanding, there's wisdom, and actually there's an opening of what lies ahead of us so that it's not a narrowing of future. It becomes this wide open field. Let's open our Bibles together, Acts chapter 1, and I just want to read sort of 8 to 10 verses with you. But we'll kick off from verse, just partway through verse 1. It says, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his sufferings by many proofs. Many times Jesus came to them, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So he's talking to them about bigger things than the local church, their own lives. He's saying, this is the kingdom. And while staying with them, hold on to that phrase, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. There are times in conversations where it's not a you input, I input. It's actually a bit of direction taking place. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not so long from now, days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And here, take note even more. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, you can sense them contemplating, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heaven, and he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heaven? It's a ridiculous question in some senses. Well, hang on a second. The guy who's leading us has just disappeared. This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Here is this final conversation that Jesus is having between him and his disciples who have trekked with him for 3 years. They've invested, they've sowed into one another. It's not this fly on the wall comment. It's not this corridor moment. It's not this corridor conversation. It's not some sort of time filler. Guys, we've got some hours to make up before I go. You know, at the airport where you're sitting around, you just have sometimes needless conversations. It was not a new idea that Jesus was trying to portray just from some random person. This was Jesus. It was not some new characteristic or charismatic leader or the voice of the enemy was coming. This was Jesus. It was not someone's opinion or a news report. It was Jesus. And this is the significant thing. It was while he was staying with them, the Bible says. So there was time invested in that moment. He wasn't running to get to another place. He knew that this was a significant conversation that they needed to understand, shift their focus, because if they could shift it and see something powerful was going to take place. Did any of them at this time expect Jesus to be the first to leave? I don't think they ever did. As much as Jesus said to them, I'm going to go, there was always this in their minds, like, no, Jesus, we're going to conquer something. We're going to take something. And in their minds, they had one idea of that, but Jesus was really clear on what that meant, and they hadn't quite grasped that. But Jesus had gathered, he had invested, he taught, he had inspired, and now he needed to leave. Jesus was the founder, the lawgiver, the sufferer, the conqueror, the revealer, and now he's going. Why? To allow the Holy Spirit to come. This final conversation was nothing new in terms of Jesus' purpose. Same lines of the kingdom running through the before crucifixion and on this side of the cross. It didn't change. Jesus' assumption of authority, it hadn't changed. He was still Lord and King. His words were as before, powerful, comforting, directing, challenging. He hadn't come to this place and said, boys, I've got a couple of mistakes that I want to rectify. No mistakes to rectify. Nor was he withdrawing any offer of the promises available. The journey had not shaken him in his mind, in its loves, its powers, and its purpose. He was not moved or shaken. But he had restored some old commissions and reminding them of what was about to take place. But here in this moment, he creates a conversation that he wants them to engage in. And then he creates a halt of time. He says, now I want you to go to this place. I'm telling you, and I want you to wait. It wasn't because about the order or an order given or a drill. That wasn't the reason they had to go and wait, but actually for a power. It's like this. I was looking at my table the other day, and there's these candles that Leah loves to light. And the candle's there. It's in this mold. The wick is ready. And what is it waiting for? To truly be the candle it's called to be, it needs fire to come down at that point. It needs a spark of the Spirit to ignite them in that moment. And days and moments away, in the bigness of time, that was going to come. The Holy Spirit was going to come. He was going to come with power to do something incredible that they've never experienced before. And while they're thinking, man, this conversation I'm losing, they didn't understand that actually the conversation was about them actually reaping and gaining and being able to invest. It was a place that they were coming to of wide open spaces and opportunities in this conversation. I want to say this to you. I think sometimes we bail out of the right conversations at the wrong time. And we miss the point. It's a little bit like this. We live like this. This is a bucket. And we stick this bucket over our heads in life. And you can hear my voice is a little bit muffled now. And all I can hear echoing in me is my own voice. All I can pretty much see is the darkness in front of me. And my vision becomes blurred. My hearing does not pick up what is actually being said, and all I have is my own company. Some people say, well, you need your alone time with God. Yeah, He called you to make room and maybe go into a quiet place, not stick a bucket over your head. And I feel like some of us at the moment have stuck a bucket over our head in the last few weeks, and we've forgotten what God is saying to us as the church. I want to remind you right now what He's saying. God is asking you for your heart, because when your heart is in His hands, there's a flow of water that comes from you, rivers of living water, that if you allow Him, wherever He needs to turn it in this season and the seasons to come, He can make life come from that place. I feel like Jesus is saying to us as the church and the churches around, I'm here, I love you, won't you fall in love with me again? Because otherwise we'll get busy in the season, we'll consume all the content, and we'll miss the connection that God is calling us to have. He said this, He says, man's agenda is altered in this season, but God's agenda never changes. We're not here to kind of go, oh, shame, poor God, he's not able to do what He's called to do. God is doing exactly what He needs to do with the people He needs to do it with. His agenda has not changed. He is not surprised. He said, the tide is turning. And as I got up and prayed, the Lord said, just pray in the Spirit, and when it's time and release, I'll tell you to stop. And so I just began to pray and cry out, and suddenly, probably about after 45 minutes, this peace came over, and He said, now give me praise. Begin to pray from a place of victory, knowing that victory is taking place, not from a place of defeat, not from a place of just getting through. And so, church, I really believe the tide is turning. When the sons of God, when the daughters of God manifest, the options of humanity change. People walking in crucifixion begin walking in resurrection. But I want to tell you something. In every familiar season, there is a stamp of incomparable grace upon it. God's unmerited favor and God's empowerment is on the season which we see as just familiar. His church, three things He's desiring. Desiring a mature people, a people whose hearts are connected to Him, knowing that He loves them, and a people that are submitted, humble, and generous willing to bring what they've been given to the table. He enables, He empowers, He loves first. He restores, He renews, He rebuilds. He says, like He said to Peter, there is a price to pay, but the rewards are far greater. Then finally, right at the end of the scripture, He says to Peter again, these words, follow me. I think it's time now that some of us need to slip this bucket off our heads and get a bigger picture and a bigger perspective of what actually God is saying, because He's speaking to us. He's sitting down in front of us and He's saying, I want to have a conversation with you, just like I'm having a conversation with you today. Yes, there's instruction here. Yes, there's teaching. Yes, there's wisdom. But actually, I'm hoping we can converse in this. And I'm hoping you're sitting on the other side of this camera and you're going, yeah, I hear you, Heath. Yeah, here's what I want to contribute to this conversation. But Jesus said to them, He said this, He said, wait here in Jerusalem. Why? Why was He specific about the place? Because there wasn't obedience in this conversation. But I think He also knew if He didn't give clear instruction, they would have wandered back to old familiar places. When we come into discipleship and we sit under the teaching of Jesus and we sit under the teaching of God, those that God has put in place, there is clear instruction, because we know that some of us will go and walk about because we'll go to old familiar places. Old thinking. They could have allowed their bodies and their minds to wander. And He reminds them in this conversation. He says, remember the previous time we had this conversation. The Holy Spirit is coming to baptize you. But as He's saying this, it's almost like they dismiss this part of the conversation as if it was some sort of filler. Yeah, Jesus, we know what you've just said. Great to hear that. But here's our real question. Are we going to reestablish the kingdom? Is this what's really going to happen? We often want our own questions answered in a conversation before we're listening to what is being said. We've thought of those questions before even the person has finished, because we formulated our own response. And it's in those moments we miss what actually is being said. What we hear based on our ears and our eyes, we then begin to ask questions that are not really the questions. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? Great question, Jesus says. But that's not why I've just said what I said. But here is the why. You need to be a part of this conversation. We'll get to that. That's not for you to know right now. But this is the part I need you to know. And He said to them, it's not for you to know the times and seasons. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Get involved in the right conversations, put you in the place of expansion and not limitation. When you get involved in the right conversations, it puts you in the place of expansion and not limitation. The gift on offer right then and there in that conversation was not, I want to take something from you, not you're going to lose me, but I have something to deposit in you and on you to create an expansive place. And that thing was a little word that we use and we misunderstand called power. Not just intellectual power. Although we are blessed with sharper minds, I hope, and have greater insight because Jesus is in our lives. Not just social power, greater favor, greater authority, greater rule. Not just miracle working power. Wow, look what we can do. No, but a power of holiness. That includes all those things and far more. A power to know who we are and whose we are in every single season, to be devoted, to be faith-filled people, to walk in godliness, to be obedient when sometimes the circumstances are pressing in. What's the purpose of the power? To be a witness. My life and your lives are witnesses for Him or for somebody else. Modeling, bearing His image. I want to sound like Him. I want to walk like Him. I want to talk like Him. Maybe we should grow our hair a little bit like we think Jesus looked. But I want to be everything like Jesus called me to be, which is to be like Him. And when He says, I want you to be a witness, He didn't say, I just want you to be a witness in your bucket. He says, I want you to be a witness right here and then to the ends of the earth. Ever increasing realms of influence. Do you know there are over 2 billion people, 2 billion people, let me just say that again, 2 billion people who have never heard the name of Jesus on this planet. Sometimes we are so concerned with our structures, our arranging our mechanics, our lifestyles, we're concerned with our finances, we're concerned with all sorts of different things instead of the actual real conversation that we need to be a part of. You know, Liberty Church, we don't want to build a grand church. We don't want to build a rich church. We don't want to build a slick church. We don't want to build a sexy church. We want to build a holy church. We want to be a holy people. We want to be a people who use the power that God has deposited in us and on us. When He puts the staff in our hand, I want to use it. When He gives me the opportunity and it's from Him, I want to walk into it because He means that I should use it. A power to be used enlargingly. Increase in areas that we need to minister and be in. But it starts right here where we're at. Then it increases all over the place. Sometimes we want the big before we are prepared to be faithful, the Bible says, with the small. What causes us to spend time in the wrong conversations or miss the ones that we truly need to be a part of, like this one here, is we don't have the right conversations. What's the right conversation? Your conversation with Jesus. And the conversation of those He's placed in your life to love and to lead you well. Do you know, to call ourselves Christian men and women, we can't be small-minded. Small-minded and Christianity don't is not a hand-in-glove moment. They just don't fit. As a Christian, we never bend our head downwards towards little or the dwindling spaces. Everybody's trying to squeeze through narrow gaps or the ever decreasing parts of their life. That's not what it is. It's always about the whole world for Jesus. Every single person. Sometimes we're so afraid to ask the question or to step into somebody's life for fear of what they may think of us. But you know, they're waiting to have a conversation. You are probably and can be the most significant conversation that they will ever have today or have ever had. And in that conversation, non-confrontational, inviting, speaking into their hearts, you can literally shape and change their entire eternity. These conversations are significant. If we desire enlarged minds, inspired moments, the only way is in the right conversations, and the right conversations leads to the right decisions. What are those conversations? Fellowship with Jesus. He's head of all things, fills all things, knows all things, and holds all things. What else causes us not to have the right conversations? Distractions. What's distracting you today? What are the noises coming in on you? What pride do you have to maybe get rid of? What familiarity has come upon you? Do you know, I've realized over time I can get familiar with God, those that God places in my life. That's Jesus, the carpenter. No, that's Jesus, King and Lord. That's just them. I've been part of their team for a while now. You know, kind of go with what they say. But as long as I tick the box and do, you know, God's called each of us into each other's lives to sharpen us as iron sharpens iron. You know what else distracts us from the conversation is being a busybody. Bible says, don't be wasteful with your time. But a busybody thinks they know everything and thinks they've got to dip into everything. Run in your lane. Run where God has called you to run. In that lane, you flourish. And in that lane, you bring the most value. The right conversations with the right people create an environment of faith and absolute possibilities. It's in the waiting that time when the disciples had to go and wait, that Jesus started to really move in their hearts. But they had the significant conversations. They'd listened. They went and waited. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon them and everything changed. If they had left and gone somewhere else and said, great time, Jesus, loved the last conversation, but actually we're going to do something else, we could have missed the most significant, one of the most significant moments in history. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. I want to leave that with you today. I want to pray for you today that distraction disappears and you begin to have the right conversations. Because sometimes we don't have the answers, But I want to invite you today to a place to engage in the right conversation. And number one, that's with Jesus. And if you already know Jesus, that's also with those of significance that He's placed around you in order to sharpen you and encourage you today. Father, I pray right now for each person listening to the sound of my voice that they know and they understand that the right conversations open a place to enlargement. And I pray in Jesus' name that they hear your voice above every other voice. Lord, bless the people. And if you today have said, do you know what? I want to start a conversation with Jesus. I want to begin to engage with Him. We'd love to speak to you afterwards on the Zoom call to pray with you. But if not, if you've just made that decision in your heart, tell somebody about it. It's awesome. And if you'd like to let us know as well, that'd be great. God bless you, everybody. Have a blessed day.